the number thing.
What are your earliest memories of Nuttall Village?
The people who lived in Starling Street when I did was at number two we had the Whitesides. At number four we had the Grahams. And at number six we had Mr. Horn, who was the postman. Hansen's lived at number eight. I lived at number ten. The Taylors lived at number 12, and Edwards were at 14. Some more issues lived at number 16, and some more Grahams lived at 18. Mrs. Blundell, who lived at 20, used to work on the railway, was a cleaner in Rambottom Station for many years, and John Mead lived at 22. And Bentley's lived at 24. And that made up our 12 houses in Starling Street.
What were the houses like in Starling Street?
The houses in Starling Street was stone terraced, and we had no electricity. We had gas light. Gas for lighting, which was lit with mantles. There's also gas light, there's also gas street lights outside. And the staircase to go up to the bedrooms was a stone staircase with stone, made out of stone flags, and went up to the upstairs rooms. The downstairs room was a lounge downstairs, and a dining kitchen. The sash windows and I remember the back door was a big solid door, and the lock on the door was a big lock about 6 inches square, and it was operated by a key about 6 inches long and half inch in diameter with a key that locked your back door. The front door was a Yale, but the back door is a big old fashioned, like they had when they were in, when it shows them in castles or whatever, the big key that big. And you could hold it like this, you know, yeah, like to turn it. I remember turning it to doing the key for that. But upstairs was sash, downstairs was sash windows, stone flags. The lounge, from the lounge up into the dining kitchen, you went up two steps into the dining kitchen. It wasn't level. Now, when you were born, they went up two steps into the dining kitchen. With the staircase being made out of stone, a stone curtaise, we used, during the war, as the air raid siren went, we used to have to go on the staircase, because Mother used to put stuff on the staircase to sit on and lie on. Is an air raid on. The houses were two up and two down, with no bathroom and outside toilets. That's about it. What's this?
Built. Built 1800s.
Oh, built, yeah. Now they're probably built, about 100 years old, and they demolished about early 1950s. When you wanted a bath, Friday night, with bath night, and I always remember my mother, she used to put a boiler with water, gas boiler full of water, and a tin bath, which used to be hung outside on the wall outside. She used to bring that in on Friday night, put it up fire, filled it with hot water, and then we all had a bath.
What kind of fire was it?
Just an old, like an old bungalow range fire, like a big stone, iron fireplace, with a boiler at one side, about one side, and a oven at the other side, which you could use, but we actually had a separate gas oven for cooking with. I do, yeah. See what I mean. The next thing we had was a gas iron for ironing your clothes. That used to have a rubber pipe that come from the side of the fireplace. We could connect it to it with a switch, with a tap on it. Another end went into your iron, into your gas iron, and you to light your turn your gas on to get through to your gas iron and strike a match and light your iron with it. You give it a minute or two to warm up, and you iron your clothes with that, and that was where you did all your ironing. But no such things as televisions or anything like that, or transistor radios, nothing like that. We just had a relay. We had a relay receiver, and all you could get was the home service at light service, and that come through a wire from the relay shop in Rambottom. Something similar to what we have now, cable, with their cable televisions today. And then it was, as you might say, cable radio. So that's how your entertainment at evenings, especially winter time. You see, I can just see now, my mum sat there listening to the Archers, which was a popular programme at the time. And it's still going now, and I don't know, but it's still going. And it's still going now with the Archers, because and then Saturday afternoon, they all had to be quiet, my dad was listening to a football match on wireless.
Could you just tell us something about the big house, as it was called in Musselburgh Village?
Well, the big house, it looked onto the village green. It had a garden in front of the house itself, and it was all privets all around, big privets all the way around. And it had no doors and no windows in, so when the children, between 8 and 10 sometimes, we used to go play in the big house, especially when it was raining. It was like our kids' gangot in the big house. And it also had a pear tree, an apple tree, and we used to go and help. He said, just out, you know, apples and pears were there, he'd go and eat apples and pears and things like that. We used to be going, playing, whatever we had to. But we had to play that at the time. It was the windows were sort of in three. As I remember, they had two pillars in the middle of the window. The window says about 5 foot wide, but each window is only about 1 foot something wide, and a 6-inch pillar, stone pillar, in between each window, so it gives like slat type windows. That were the kind of windows. But there were no windows in, we went to just it just stone opening between, you'd be climbing into windows and climbing into doors and played upstairs, and you know, like a giant playhouse for children at village. nobody bothered. Everybody were happy. That's the way things were. Never known any different. And next door to the big house was the tower. The tower had at the bottom of the tower, the big gateway, big doors with these iron studs in the door, loads of iron studs in the door, and the doors would open, up, possibly in days gone by, that was the way in to the into the farmyard or whatever the, you know, that was way into the farm. And I always remember that being there, because that gateway there was the village goalpost. We all played football on the village green, and gateway were the village goalpost, because they're wide, you know, quite wide. They're obviously wide. It took a horse and cart to, you know, and tractors to come or whatever. Not tractors, horse and cart, weren't they? They were, because they had two big shire horses that used to go ploughing. Tractors did used to come, but they used to bring it from Wally, because the people who owned the farm were called proctors of Wally. And when it was any harvesting doing or want any ploughing doing, he used to bring tractor. But he also had two big shire horses there as well to do the general work about the farm. He also had a big brook pond in the farm, which had been filled in and demolished, same as the tower. All the barns, the shippings, there are lots have been flattened now, built houses on it. And yet, it was supposed to be one of the biggest farms around in Numbleton, that farm at the time.
How big was it? How far did it stretch?
Nuttall Farm started at bottom of what they call Church Field, where St Andrew Church is in the field there. The church going the field that stretched going toward Drumbottom to Home Mill near the river, and it stretched from there up to the church field, down Nuttall Lane, all through the village, all the way to Somerset, far as Josh Oil's mill in Somerset, then the brick houses in Somerset, and back up through the woods, and back up to farm, not farm, hospital, cottage hospital on Nuttall Lane. It's a massive farm, really, really, really big.
Did you help on the farm at all?
Well, we thought we did, but we were just more or less riding in on the air cart. That was helping where we to sit on, you know, going really out the tractor, you know, sit on mud guards at tractor. It would never be allowed today for health and safety, but we said, well, what would be more sort of driving, family sat on driving seat, and me both be sat on mud guard, me and my brother, and me and his farmer's daughter. Go around going up into the fields, because they used to have men come over from Ireland when it was hay making time or potato picking time. They used to come over for a week or two for, I think they used to sleep at barn. And just used to come for a couple of weeks, where they got all the hay in, all potatoes picked, and they're off. Some other farm doing same thing, like went round from farm to farm, like doing this. That was what they did. You wouldn't see them again then for the 12 months.
Did you help at all?
No, really, weren't really big enough. We just the boys were there watching.
What did you actually do for recreation if you were only 9 or 10 year old? Using your brother?
When we were young, to start up the, everything went by the seasons. And there is a season for everything. You start at the beginning of the year, say February. The main thing then were we used to stop in and play Monopoly, was a popular game we played. Stamp collecting, because it was just during the war and towards the end of the war. And then all soldiers send their letters home to wives, and they all used to save their sales stamps. We all have a stamping, collecting stamps. Mr. Orton was a postman, lived next door but one to us. He used to collect them up while they went on board him on the stamps. He used to bring them up for us. That was another thing we did during the winter time. And then when it snowed, now that was a big occasion when it snowed, because Vincent, who lived next door to us, he was about a couple of years older than me. Every time it snowed, we used to go and get his bath off the wall out of the back, the rug on the wall, get his bath, drag it over to Big Hill, and about four or five of us, sat in bath and went down to the hill in bath. And that would have a sledging. And got the bottle, you'd have to get out, drag it up, drag it all the way back to the top again, and go down again. And that way we did have a sledging then. Because there were all such things as these plastic sledges and all that sort of thing that they have today. You had to make your own entertainment. And as the year went on, you got into bows and arrows season. Where everybody played with bows and arrows. You'd go down to the bottom, Glenbip River, cut up the trees down. Or you top it, or you... Hold on there a minute, cut it, took willow trees down, and making balls out of the willow trees. And for the arrows, we used to go to Appleton's at the top of the lane. We had a greengrocer's shop. And I always remember, my mum used to give us a penny for an apple for school. But he didn't want to spend the penny on the apple. Went into Appleton's, and he'd give an orange box for a penny. Or he'd carry this orange box back home, split it up into and make arrows out to wood from orange box. Because the orange box is about in two sections, about 3 foot wide, 3 foot long, an orange box roughly. And that's what we did we played our bows and arrows. Another thing we did was the top and whip. We really had the top and whip season as well. That was during the summer. And then we used to play top and whip in the lane. That were a big thing we used to have to do. And kites, they got later on, when it got windy towards end of season, end of summer. We used to make our own kites. I remember us making a kite once, what was then called a box kite. It was like a shape of a box, two boxes, about 3 foot tall, this box kite. And for the material, the women who worked in the cotton mills, they used to bring stuff, bit of stuff on for it to make it out of cotton, out of like cotton stuff, these kites. And the string used to be like, it used to go on like nylon, and it used to bring a bobbin of nylon on. And that used to be a flyer kite for the bobbin of nylon. And I always remember once we'd spent weeks making this, well, seemed like weeks, making this kite. And we've got a right windy day, and we all played in the fields then. So we run up in that field with this kite, and all of a sudden we got really high in the sky, and suddenly let it go, and we never saw it again. It just literally flew off. I've taught that time, he spent making it. We never saw it, and it flew off over towards Goringrod, and that ripped pendant kite. And the thing on the village green was popular for riding your bikes and playing football, cricket. Everybody joined in, all the young ones and teenagers, the whole lot, you know, remember there were so many, didn't bother you, which side you're on, you just be please yourself which side you kick, which way you're kicking it, whichever ball were going. And that went to your thing, what you played. Conkers and all that, maybe that, you had September, you know, it'd be the conker season. Could we had a big conker tree on right on Village Green, right on Village Green, which you get a big stick, throwing up at conker tree, knocking conkers off, and then to thread them on a string and play conkers. That would be about September, October, wouldn't it be for conker season, something like that. That was a very popular thing and all the time. Village Green, centre of Village Green, where they had the bonfire. The bonfire, everybody used to go throw all the rubbish out we didn't want, put bonfire. And we also went into the woods, picking up dead tree, or dead branches that broke off trees. And they're too big for us to carry. We used to tell Alf, you know, and Alf for the farmer, and he used to go over with his cart and go and load them on cart and bring them back to Village Green, dump them off for making bonfire way. This was about the biggest bonfire in the district, I think. Because it was Jason took woods and farm with them, dragging wood in front of his, with his tractor, or whatever, you know, whatever, horse and cart. And we used to have massive bonfires then. And some of the women and thing used to have, just make black treacle toffee to eat round bonfire. And everybody was having potatoes, used to have throw potatoes into fire, you know, to cook potatoes on bonfire. Oh, happy times then.
Can you remember anything about Ocean Chemicals?
I remember Ocean Chemicals. I remember the factory being there. I remember it working. But I believe it was where they made cyanide, were one of the main things. And I remember prisoners of war used to march prisoners of war through the village to home working this cyanide factory. And the wagons from the factory used to come up and stop at Village Green. All used to come right up past 8:15, stop at Village Green, and all children from the village used to pile up back at wagon, or in cab, right up to the top of Nuttall Lane. They used to stop again then, and we all jump off the wagon and go to school, because the St Andrew's School, they're right at the top of the lane. And that was the, and they always seemed as if they were waiting. They never set off before we went to school, they never set off went too late. They always were there between 8:30 and 8:45. Wagons used to be there, and we could hear them setting off. There's not noisy about wagons them days. You could hear wagons setting off at chemical works, and you just stop and pull up. They're right, I've got to name them down. Can't remember the name of drivers now, used to be. Oh, shouldn't I remember driving, but I can't remember name.
Was there a village shop in Nuttall Village?
Yes, there was a village shop, but it didn't sell very much. You wanted your main shopping, you had to go to the top of Nuttall Lane for any shopping. And there you had, they were all individual shops. You had your pork butcher, which is where you got your bacon and your pork from and such. And then there was the grocer's shop next door, and then the chip shop next to that, and then further up there was a greengrocer's shop, and on the end one it was a shoe shop, remember what they call cloggers? And opposite St Andrews, we used to collect shop opposite St Andrews at Appleton's, that real greengrocer's shop. And there were a butcher's shop there, Brem's the Butcher's, and there a cake shop. And then there were Babker's the paper shop. And at the end one were Singleton's, and they set up a toffee shop, they just sold toffees. And back the other way, I up the other way, was the post office. And the one were a co-op shop. But all them we buried our main shopping. We used to go up on a bike, we used to have bikes with baskets out front.
Oh, yeah.
And anything heavy, we used to put it in the basket. And we put bags on, bands of bags, and then ride home with it like that. When we used to walk down, we used to go down with bags on, down with my bike. Another thing we used to play, and all thinking about it now, when we used to make bogies out of old prams. You had four pram wheels and a plank of wood. Riding down laying on bogies.
Did you have an allotment?
Allotment, yeah, we used to have most of the houses in the village had a garden or allotment, whatever you should call it. We used to grow a lot of vegetables and flowers and things like that, tomatoes. We used to have like a wooden greenhouse then days, all made out of window frames, old window frames to make what greenhouses were made out of. Everything were self-made. You used to mend anything were self-made. Build your own greenhouse out of somebody else's old windows they're discarding. I left the village when I was about 12 in about 1950 and went to living on Bolton Road West. That's at top of the lane. And that's where I lived then, up to getting married.